I'll have to say that, you know, Scott got to talk about discrimination and retaliation, which tend to be a little bit more exciting and sexy than the Fair Labor Standards Act, but we're going to try to make this fun anyway. It is obviously something you all deal with quite a bit. We get a lot of questions about FLSA. I'm going to try to talk about the areas we get a lot of questions in. It is something that, as we know, there's right now a pending change to the law, which I'll talk about a little bit, and there have been changes that we thought were going to happen that didn't happen regarding overtime and the threshold for salaried employees, but I'll talk about that a little bit. So let me start a little bit, a little history about the FLSA. It is one of the older employment laws that exist. It was passed back in 1938 by Franklin Delano Roosevelt during the Great Depression. And back then, things were pretty bad for employees. I mean, there were no laws about how many hours they could work, no laws about what they had to be paid. Apparently, there was a lot going. A lot of kids were having to work, you know, days for very poor wages. And so as part of his New Deal and as what was going on with the Great Depression, he enacted the Fair Labor Standards Act. Interesting to note, the Secretary of Labor at the time was a woman, the first woman Secretary of Labor, and she helped push that law through. Just saying, a woman can get things done, right? So, but what it was designed, really what it did was at that time, because there were no laws, employers could make people work 60 hours or 80 hours, so less people were being employed. So part of the purpose of that was, hey, if we limit the number of hours, or at least you have to pay overtime if they work more than 40, it will allow more people to come in the workforce. So that was one reason for the law. And so the overtime provisions were really trying to get more people, you know, make the employers pay more and employ more people. And also there were a lot of emphasis on child labor laws because a lot of kids were having to work during that time period. So again, one of the older laws we have, and it's been around for a long, long time. I did see, interestingly, like in 1906, there was a Supreme Court case where a law had come up saying we should limit employers, they can't have employees work more than 60 hours a week. And the Supreme Court at that time said, oh, no, we're not going to get involved with the private industry. We're not going to get involved. That's not our purview. So, again, so 1938, that's finally when legislation was enacted to try to curb some of the abuses as to employees. So, again, the basics, which probably a lot of you know, it does apply to public sector and private employers, full and part-time workers. The work week is a 7-day period, and the last bullet point, I do get questions on this sometimes. We'll be talking to an employer about whether someone is owed overtime, or a lot of times it comes up in the independent contractor employee situation, and they'll say, they wanted to work this way. They wanted to be a contractor. Or they signed something. They said they didn't need to be paid overtime, didn't want to be paid overtime. It's like, no, sorry, that won't work. You can't have employees waive their rights under Fair Labor Standards Act. You have to pay overtime. And you can't have someone by saying, I want to be a contractor. That's not going to be controlling whether they want to or not is what they actually are. So what are the basics under the FLSA? We have, of course, minimum wage requirement, overtime pay requirement, child labor issues, and record-keeping requirements. Those are kind of the basics that you have to deal with and follow. I think we know minimum wage federally is still $7.25 an hour. Some states have passed other laws. Texas is not one of them. But if you are have employees in other states, you have to be mindful of what their laws might be. I think California is another state, I think, might be close to $15 an hour. So there are other states with higher minimum wage. So if you're in those states, you need to pay those rates. So what some things we need to talk about, so there's this kind of this conventional wisdom out there that the law requires employers to give employees breaks, or requires them to give them meal periods. And generally, the law does not. There is no Texas law either. So you as an employer can make decisions whether you give breaks or lunch periods, but it's really not required. Of course, typically people do. So if you do, then the law does control and say what needs to be paid and not paid. The law doesn't require holiday pay or weekend pay. Doesn't require that you pay vacation or pay severance. Doesn't require you give written notice of discharge or written termination letters. It does, once someone is 16 or over, they're no longer subject to the child labor laws, so they can work over 40 hours as long as they're paid overtime if they're not exempt. So just know, and again, Texas, we're lucky as employers, if you're an employer in Texas, because you have a lot of leeway about whether you pay vacation or PTO, whether you pay severance or not. It's all a matter of policy. You're not required to do it, but if you do it, you need to follow your policies. And people sometimes ask, are we required, you know, an employee will get fired and an employer will get an email saying the employee is, you know, once they want a written termination letter, or they've been told they are, that the employer is required to give them a written termination letter. And that's not true. In Texas, you're not required to do that. Usually we would ask the client, well, do you normally do this? If it's something you normally do, you probably should be consistent. If you don't, you're not required to, but depending on the situation, we'll talk about whether we think it's a good idea or not to provide a written termination notice. But again, not required by FLSA. Talked about the basics, minimum wage, and then for tipped employees, obviously it's different. They have to be paid at least $2.13 an hour, and then above that, get tips to at least make minimum wage. Overtime pay, again, that's one of the areas we get the most questions in, and most litigation occurs is whether people are being properly paid overtime. And again, that's any non-exempt employee who works over 40 hours in a work week is owed overtime at the rate of time and a half. And there's some exceptions to that. There's something called the fluctuating work week. People may not know about, but that's a provision under the law that allows employers to pay half time instead of time and a half.